Blog Talk Radio.
And now the host of Entertainment Now, Gail Scott-Key.
Welcome to Entertainment Now. I am your host, Gail Scott-Key. And I know usually you join me on a Thursday, but guess what? I'm joining you on a Monday because I have a special guest who will be joining me in just a few. I will be joined by a songwriter-producer who is highly respected in the music industry, as he's had a short stint as being guitarist for megastar Madonna, but also had a number one hit in the 80s and on the Billboard charts, and currently released his new single, Ride On, featuring Johnny King, who is the baby brother of legendary singer Evelyn Champagne King. Rick Tarbox will be joining me in just a few. But I just wanted to take a moment, as I know that the news has been settling in since late last night. I know that I received a lot of tweets over the night regarding the passing of Bobby Christina Brown. She, of course, is the daughter of late Whitney Houston and R&B singer Bobby Brown. Her death came nearly 6 months after she was found unresponsive in a bathtub in a Roswell, Georgia home. And that was Saturday, January 31st. Now, Bobby Christina was 22 years old, and her death comes more than 3 years after the February 11th, 2012 death of her mother, who was also discovered unconscious in her bathtub just before the 2012 Grammy Awards. And of course, on behalf of Entertainment Now and Faces of Success Radio, our thoughts and prayers go out to Sissy Houston, Pat Houston, Whitney's brother as well, and as well as Bobby Brown. I had two of his singers on my show a couple of weeks ago who debuted one of their songs, and we talked a little bit about they were performing for July 4th, if you recall, on that show, and my heart goes just out to them. It's a very heavy night. You can feel it in the air, and again, the thoughts and prayers go out to that family, and hopefully it'll be a time of mending and healing, because I know Bobby Brown, just him and his new wife, just had the delivery of his new daughter, I think a little over a month ago, if not even. So lots of prayers out to them tonight. Switching gears on a higher note, I do have some good news to talk about for Faces of Success Radio, which is really exciting. You can never plan ahead enough, and so we are. For 2016, it's the Faces of Success Radio. We present the old school Celebrity R&B Black Tie 2016 Music Awards Dinner, which I have the honor of hosting along with Terry Moore. I am so excited. Evelyn Champagne King, legendary singer, award-winning artist who I have had the pleasure of being, I'm going to be featured in her video, Dance All Night, which she did perform in New York last week, a couple of weekends ago, with her baby brother, Johnny King, who also produced that music video. Well, they're both going to be there, and also Climax and Kalila Camacho Ali, who I'm also going to have back on my show. She is going to be there. That's just to name a few. It's going to be a huge event, and also it's going to be at the Grand Sierra Resort Crystal Ballroom in Reno, Nevada. Now, folks, this is going to be huge, huge, huge. So if you want your tickets, if you want in on this red carpet event, because I will be hosting it, I'll be bringing you all the action throughout the weekend on behalf of Faces of Success Radio. All you have to do is go to www.facesofsuccessradio.com, and we will get you hooked up. And talking about getting you hooked up, right now I'm going to change the mood totally around. And here now to pick up all the music that we have is going to be my guest, Rick Tarbox, will be joining me to talk about his new single that I'm going to drop on you right now, which debuted actually a few months ago. It's called Ride On, featuring my dear friend Johnny King. Check it out, and I'll be right back with Rick Tarbox right after this.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine, Johnny King, who is the baby brother of Evelyn Champagne King, legendary singer and award winner in her own right. And that is all under my guest right now, who is joining me via phone. And I am so excited because you don't know what I've done to get him on this show with me. I've gone through everything. And he's been so patient and wonderful. He is, again, he's a songwriter, producer of electronic dance music. He played guitar for megastar Madonna, and even though it was for a little while, still, that's huge. He also had a number one hit on the Billboard chart with All Night Passion. But currently, as I just played, the innovative artist is looking to change the sound of electronic dance music as he just released his new single, Ride On, featuring Johnny King. And right now, I am so excited to finally bring on my show, Entertainment Now, with a big, huge welcome to Rick Tarbox. Rick, you're finally here. You made it.
Yeah. Good to talk to you, Gail.
Oh, it's great talking to you. I'm so excited to have you on. My goodness, you have been a busy man.
Yeah, it's been busy lately.
It really has. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, this is a unique show for tonight for a lot of reasons, because I did an opening, as you heard. My phone, I don't know about you, Rick, but my phone was tweeting off the hook about the unfortunate passing of Bobby Christina Brown. And, you know, where you're in the music industry and knowing a lot of people, I wanted to certainly respectfully open up the floor to you in case if there was something that you wanted to share about that as well, because I know a lot of stars are sharing their thoughts and prayers with the Houston and Brown family.
Yeah, I mean, that's really tragic. I mean, it's, you know, whenever, especially, you know, well, I have kids and, you know, if you lose a child, that's really, before you have your time to pass on, it's really tragic. I mean, I was always a fan even of Sissy Houston, which of some of her hits way back in the day. So it you know, folds on down through the family.
Yeah. Wow. You know, and you raise a good point, because my heart really goes out to her, especially here. She lost her daughter, and now to lose her granddaughter. And one thing I really wanted to stress, I know you and I were talking about briefly, but it's real important that we don't lose ourselves in, you know, different facts. There of course, is going to be an autopsy and such that is going to say exactly what happened. But the thing that's most important now is that a 22-year-old life is gone. It's no longer here with us. And what the focus should really be on is sending prayers to that family. I think I told you I had two of the singers who came on who were performing with Bobby Brown for July 4th weekend. And, you know, I had asked them how he was doing under the circumstances. And there were even excerpts of Bobby Brown saying on stage he didn't know whether he was coming or going. He just had the birth of his brand new daughter. So, you know, my heart just goes out to that whole family. It is just so sad. And, you know, I've been posting up on the Facebook. But, you know, as I said, you know, a lot of stars have been taking time to send wishes. And I definitely were having you on the show. I wanted to open that up for you as well. And definitely sending our prayers out to the Houston and Brown family. And, man, that family's going to need a lot of prayers and a lot of support through this time. So, wow.
Absolutely.
But on a brighter note, well, what's amazing is you were 22 when you began writing and producing for Motown Records. That's how you started in this business. Is that correct? The same age.
Yeah, that's how I had gotten. I was working with some guys from the Bronx doing tracks in their studio. I came from Boston, where I went to college, music college, and somehow I got attached to this studio in Long Island, and one of the guys there was Tommy Hill. He was beginning his start with Motown. So together we wrote two songs, and at that time you didn't have MIDI or computers or anything. Like, you need a live band with 2-inch tape. And so I did the string arrangements. So the owner of the studio was so impressed that I did. So I had buddies from college that came from New York City out and played the violin parts, because back in those days it was post-disco, but still you had some sweetening in there. So he was, like, impressed that I wrote the. And then from writing those two tunes, that's when I got started. My first single was on Motown, which is, it seems pretty amazing, but it's just a lucky break.
Yeah, very amazing.
Yeah, it was a lucky
break. Very amazing. Oh, my goodness. Well, obviously, you know, there's this whole new term, and maybe it's not so new, because, I mean, a lot of artists, musical artists, have come into it. And I know when Johnny came on, he had released his album towards the end of March, All About Me, and he said, it's house music. He goes, I'm going to change the way you listen to house music. You hear house music, electronic dance music. So there's all these different underground waves, and I'm trying to keep on top of it. I mean, I'm from the 80s, so I love the 80s. I'm like, okay, I'm there. So you guys are educating me. I'm like, yep, I'm hip with it. But, you know, Johnny is the same way, has that passion. And, man, I love listening to him in Ride On. So you got to tell me how you two collaborated on that song, because that song is awesome. And it has different versions, too. There's a 4-minute, I have a 9-minute, and then there's another version. So I guess with electronic dance, you can make all sorts of versions, can't you?
Yeah. I mean, well, some DJs, they like it nice and long with less vocal, with more instrumental in between the vocal parts, so that the vocal peaks in the center, and then they have space to, like, mix in something else or mix in another part of the record back into their own mix. So it gives them more flexibility. So, but, yeah, we got together because we both worked at Universal. He no longer works at Universal. He's doing his own thing. But I was looking for singers, and then somebody said, why don't you just ask Johnny? So I was like killing myself to trying to find a good singer. Meanwhile, he was right next door. So we have
really?
We did two tunes together, and the first record came out Right On. Is just starting to get going now because I changed. I had two distributors, the new distributors from the UK.
Uh-huh.
And so now I'm working on his follow-up single, In the Can, while this record goes about its business and hopefully rises up.
Really?
But I mean, so far I've been getting good feedback because one of my I gotta give a shout out to his friends in Belgium, the Checkup. They're really good mixers from Belgium that are into this style, and
wow,
they just gave me a follow today and said, hey, Johnny's sounds great, and that was pretty good.
Wow.
Because they're, yeah, so yeah, it is an underground thing, but over in Europe it's actually becoming top 40. If you look at top 40 UK BBC, you'll see these, what's considered house records in America, are actually top 40 records. But they always make a spin on American stuff and then throw it back at us in a different way. The Europeans, you know what I mean?
How dare they?
Yeah.
Oh my, I know, it's so funny. I have to tell you, I mean, living in the States, I haven't traveled outside of, please, New York or anything like that, but for going out into other countries, educate me, because, you know, you raise a good point. When the music's here, it rises up on the top billboards and charts like you've had before, like I've mentioned in the intro. But when it goes over to other countries, I mean, it's like, what's the difference? Because it's like, I don't know. If it goes to China or something like that, it seems to rise up quicker. Am I wrong, or is it pretty much the same when they hear the music?
They still have their top, like here in America, we have a top 40. The Clear Channel Radio is controlled most of the stations. So you'll listen to top 40 radio, you'll hear pretty much the same song. Sometimes in New York, I'll hear the same song back to back on both stations. So if you try to flip station, it's being played on the other channel. And the thing about European culture is, from what I know anyway in the UK, is it was historically up until about 89, it was only one radio station, was the government channel, Channel 1, because they're socialist countries. And you would say, no big deal, that's an economic thing. Well, it actually reflects on their music, what they listen to. So you could only listen to what the BBC played. So there was a culture of going out to clubs and hearing music and more DJs and more bands. So there's much more of a culture of, like, going out to hear something being played rather than just listening to the radio as the kids got older, you know, once you get into your teens and things like that. So it spawned this whole thing. And what happens is they don't have a lot of really good singers like we have here in R&B, soul, gospel. They just don't have them. They're starting to come out. Some of these kids are now stars, becoming stars on their own, like Simply Red and all that stuff. You know, they've listened to American singers.
Yeah.
So, So they have a way of bringing back the culture and then taking it in another new direction, because there's so many underground dance formats, like there's genres, but mostly in the UK right now, if I check the BBC charts every week for the top dance tracks, and almost all of them are house. I mean, you have the big names like Dave Guetta and Tiësto and all these very big, quote-unquote EDM DJs, which are like from Holland and Stone European, German. But
wow.
Now you get more of the UK scene, where now they have their own scene of more house and more soulful type records also. So it's pretty interesting.
It is pretty interesting. And what's pretty interesting about you is, you know, in the background, I remember I tried to get into prestigious college when I was trying to, you know, go into music. And I remember you were in Berklee College of Music, and you worked under different labels, not only just Motown, but Polydor, RCA. And then you recorded for Taylor Dane, whom I love. Oh, my goodness. And Jocelyn Brown. Let me ask you this. When you're coming onto the scene and you were doing this, I mean, you're under these huge labels, Rick. What were you thinking? What was it like for you?
Well, what happened is I was writing these pop dance songs,
mm-hmm.
and we had gone to Europe. There's this, festival every year in France where the Cannes Film Festival is, in the same, but it's in January, so there's nobody on the beach. It's dead. So they have this music conference where each little guy has his own little cubicle, and if you're from America, you go around and you take your record, and they listen to it, and they say, okay, I want to license it for Germany, or I want to license it for France, which gives them the right at the time to press CDs or press just for their own country. So that was, and when we got back, we had four records on the Billboard charts, because it was just, a couple were underground, and one was turned pop. It was actually a sleeper. It took 2 years. Like All Night Passion took 2 years to actually become a radio hit. It started out in the clubs, but it was a little bit ahead of its time sound-wise, because I was using samples and all this stuff. And even the record label told me, look, this is a little far out. Can you take these samples off? And the guys who did the mix with me that worked for the label said, oh, no, don't touch that. That's, you know, the thing. So anyway, it was a sleeper. It took 2 years really to cross over to radio. And once it did, it went pretty much worldwide, number one. I remember I was in a place, I was in south of France again for this music festival. Somebody came up to me and said, I had my little name tag on. They said, oh, your record's number one in my country, and it's Benelux or Belgium and Netherlands. I was like, oh, okay, let me buy you a beer. So it's pretty like a universal language. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's awesome.
So,
oh, my gosh. That's
and then
wild.
What we had to do is all these people then did covers of those songs on bigger labels, RCA, and, you know, because they were underground records, they weren't known. So it was easy to do a cover of a song that's not been played on the radio yet. So.
Yeah. Oh my goodness!
But,
so you were going to, now. That's gonna be, so that's some of the process. But you more or less specialize in dance club vocal music, which I know there's a megastar who everybody loved, who she claims she was a boy toy, and I'm of course talking about Madonna, because I understand you were her guitarist for a week, Rick. Talk to me about this, babe. Because I'm like, I was a huge Madonna fan. And then when I find out you were actually on stage and playing guitarist for her, you gotta break this down for me. So how did you get involved with Madonna? Because she does underground music and such.
Well, what happened was I have this friend from Boston named Dave Frank. He's the keyboard player for The System. And he wrote... Genie in a Bottle for Christina Aguilera. He's done a lot of stuff. He wrote Susudio for Phil Collins.
All the stuff I played on the music. Sure.
Yeah, he's a really genius master keyboard player. anyway, we were playing in cover bands in New York City and doing gigs and studio gigs and anything to get money. And I was at the studio in Long Island, was kind of like my home base because they had given me the keys. I had a partnership with them. And he called me up one day and said, hey, we're losing our guitar player, is Paul Pesco. And he went to play with Hall and Oates. And so Madonna at the time was doing unbelievably reggae. So he picked me up in the car. Yeah, she was doing reggae in these nightclubs in all over the tri-state area.
Really?
And so,
oh my gosh.
But she was still really feisty like she is now. She didn't really change her personality. So he comes and picks me up, and she's in the car, and the band members in the car. It's like, we just want you to come to the gig and check out what the guitar player is doing. Make sure you know how to do it. And it's like, okay, no big deal. So we went to the club, and I saw her do her own act at the time. Well, the band didn't know at the time, she was in the studio with another producer working on her first single, Everybody. You know, that was a big hit in New York.
Yes, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, she was working on that single. So then we were set to begin rehearsals, and we did one rehearsal, and then we were set to start it again to play out the gigs. And Dave called me up and said, look, the band's broken up. She went solo. Her manager decided that she wants to be a solo artist, which was a good move for her, actually. So,
yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, my God. No kidding,
so,
huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's how it came about. But Dave and I have been friends for, like, a lot of years before he even came to New York. We were in and actually, he did a session for me, and then after we finished the session, Lou, the studio owner, said to him, he asked me, hey, can I use the studio for studio time? He's like, yeah. So they ended up, him and Mike Murphy, ended up doing their first single, and they stayed overnight in the studio, and the next morning they had a deal with Atlantic. So it was the same studio that came, Taylor Dane, Twisted Sister, The System, and Alicia, all these people were coming out of this one little area in Long Island.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It was unleashing. And you were working with them? Was that the correct? Taylor Dane.
Taylor Dane, yeah, played keyboards on her. That was her first single, before she was actually Taylor Dane. They changed her name. So we played keyboards. I did keyboards, yeah. The producer that produced her, I played keyboards for him on some the remix versions or something like that. And
Dad, you got to bear with me, because see, this is all brand new. Now I'm a big '80s star, '80s big fan, love the '80s. So before Taylor Dane was Taylor Dane, what was she before she was Taylor Dane? When you
her name was. Actually, she was a wedding singer in a network. Like in Long Island, they have a lot of wedding
halls,
right?
Wait a minute. She was like Adam Sandler?
Yeah, exactly. She used to do weddings. And there was also a Russian club in Brooklyn that had, you know, would pay good singers to come and sing and do shows, and they had an in-house band. So she was doing that. And I guess through a friend, she got turned on to the studio, and the producer, who was a friend of mine, got her to sing and realized, well, she's a really good singer. Her name was, name was Leslie. I don't know her last name. But when Arista took her on, they changed her name and, of course, you know, promoted her look and everything like that. So,
goodness.
But it all
wouldn't
started
it be funny
from,
if they never changed the name?
wouldn't it
be funny if they never changed your name? Like your name would be Peabody or something like that. Well, really, Mr. Peabody, you got this great underground sound.
Lawrence Peabody or something.
You know, exactly. Now, did your name ever change? Just so I know, who am I talking to? Am I really talking to
you? No, my name has never changed. It's too weird for anybody to change it.
There, you know? I'm just saying, you know, putting it all out there, you know.
You
are amazing. You're highly respected in the music industry. And I say that because it was told to me by another mutual friend of ours, Ricky St. James, and she did a vocals on Ya Ya in the 80s, which was a one-hit wonder, if you will, and she is a fabulous singer, great, great soul. But you two had a meeting or you know, working together a little bit, yes?
Yeah, we actually, she was the original singer on All Night Passion, but the label already had a singer, and they preferred that singer, and because she was under contract to them,
right?
And the studio, the record company owned the studio. The record company owned the mixing. The mixers were on staff, so it was this whole in-house thing. And Vanguard was originally a huge jazz label, but in the 80s they weren't doing that great as far as jazz was concerned, so they turned to pop. So she was the original singer, but Alicia was under contract for that. So they were looking for the singer to sing it. And that's what happened, is Alicia ended up singing the song, and she was only 15. We had to get a work permit through her parents. Her parents came to the studio, and she was Annie, I believe, on Broadway. And it was a friend of the guy who worked for Vanguard, the main mixer, Mark Berry, brought her in, and then we did the vocals with her. And now Ricky, I'm working a track with Ricky now, a modern track, like a modern house track we're going to do soon.
Did she tell you that she has been sending me texts and she said, you have got to come to New York. You've got to meet him in person. Did she tell you she wanted me to come along for that ride? Did she tell you that?
Oh, yeah, she did, yeah.
I'm like, she's got it all planned out. See what happened, Rick, is I bought a new car, so Miss Thing wants a ticket for a ride in New York.
Yeah.
She said, this will be perfect. You can come. You're going to be interviewing Rick Traubach. So you can come to the studio and you can meet him and everything. I'm like, I see how this is going to be. I'm going to be her. It's going to be driving Miss Raina. That's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
You're going to be doing a new underground song for me that I can just like play in there. But
she has a big personality.
You know, did she tell you how we met at all?
No.
Oh, you're going to crack up. Okay, this is a true story, folks. This is a true story. Because you never know. You know, we all go through different stages in our lives. So, you know, people think, you know, just because you're on TV or you're on radio and doing music, that you wouldn't be doing caught dead doing something ordinary. And I was going in, truth be known, to a local store because I'm in Nashua, New Hampshire, and we're like, we'd been on the best place to live for about 3 times now in the U.S., I'm happy to say. So I was going into one of the stores, one of the retail stores. I don't know if she wants me to say who it is because, you know, but they're really, really good. They're low discount. And I buy shoes. I have over 300 pairs of shoes, truth be known. And I saw this young woman, and I'm trying to find, you know, this particular size. Had no idea who I was talking to. Had no idea that she is part of the culture of the 80s and had a one hit herself. And then she starts looking at me, and she's like, there's something about you. There's something about you. I really, really like you. Well, as we're talking and exchanging, I come to find out I'm talking to Ricky St. James, who now we know, a.k.a. Raina, and I told her how I do a show, and then I had her on the show and played that song and everything, and it was just funny, and we have been best buds ever since. And matter of fact, she had such a big heart. When my father had passed away, she had sent me a beautiful portrait of me and my father on a nice type of poster that I could hang up, and it really touched my heart. So she has a big heart, but...
Yeah.
She really is amazing. But man, is she like, Rick Tarbox is going to be on your show. He's going to be on your show. He's amazing. I know. So you guys are going to be picking up where you left off, and she's going to be doing now some music with you. And you actually have been, truth be known, you've been working with other artists, and it's very important to put them out too, because Touching My Soul by Serafia, which is classified as a deep house vocal track, which again is through Tarbo Records, which is under you. which is huge. Tell me a little bit about Seraphia. This has been a couple of months out, and you've been working on this. So tell us a little bit about this new single that she has.
Well, actually, she pronounced her name Seraphia, but she's from Austin,
Seraphia,
Texas.
Thank you. Is she really?
She's from Austin, Texas, and she has a band in Austin. She's a model, and she also
sings. I'm sure. She looks it. Wow.
So she had a her original song, Touching My Soul, was done as almost like a dance ballad, sort of.
Wow.
So she wanted a club mix, and excuse me. She wanted a club mix, so I said, okay, I'll do a club mix. And I met her through, I actually met her through Craigslist by accident. I just happened to be looking upstate. Yeah. And so she was looking for a producer. Yeah, it was really crazy. So we ended up getting, I have never actually met her in person. Like, last time she was in New York, I was sick. And so we didn't get to meet. But so I have another single for her, too, coming up soon. But this is her first single out, and it's doing really well. I mean, she's got a really nice voice, and she can do really great harmonies.
Oh, yeah.
With her, you know.
I can't get over that. Wow. You've never met her. You met her on Craigslist.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah,
you know how many people
are
going to go on Craigslist now, Rick? They're all going to be like, I hope Rick's going to go on Craigslist tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, and then
you're working on some stuff?
Yeah, so I started this label. Mostly, it's kind of like a smaller label to try to get bigger labels to take it over or take each artist and feature each artist as we go. And so I have another girl, her name is Samara Moni, and her song is really doing well because she's got like this smoky, it's hard to describe voice, but, and I really did it. That's really a true deep house record. But some of these deep house records, they don't have like a really, they may have a simple hook, but not a real story, not a real vocal. So I'm more of a song guy. So anyway, I met her through Raina also. The writer for Raina's song is a producer and composer in Florida, and Samara's her main artist. So they just did their R&B ballad, so I did the club mix for it. So we're doing like a partnership. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So far, so now I'm trying to get 3 or 4 records for each artist as we go, as they sell on and on. And I have another guy coming on, Jason Coleman. He's his own producer. He does more tech house, which is not really my specialty, because I'm more on the soulful R&B side, house side. He's more into the techno side, but he's really talented also. So we're trying to plan and slowly grow this organic thing of a record label.
I'm trying to, you know, for the listeners, you're hip, and I know that my Entertainment Now listeners are hip. But, okay, so we've heard house music and electronic dance music. What is the difference, and how do you put them in those categories?
Well, it's funny. It's all electronic dance. What they call EDM now is actually more of a pop vocal with a very techno sounding trance. It's almost an offset of trance, like Tiësto, Armin van Buuren, more European producers. But then you have the soulful house and what's called deep house. Is more from the UK side, and there's a label called Z Records with Opalupo is a producer there, and Joey Negro is a very famous producer. They're from England, and in England they're really, really into R&B and soul vocals. So they're really the ones that brought this back up. And also here in New Jersey we have Tony Humphries. Tony Humphries is a well-known DJ. He flies all over the world. And his thing has always been house and soul. I don't think he ever did anything else except, I mean, he was born with vinyl in his fingertips. He's just amazing, this guy. And he has his own label, and he's really great. He's just amazing. I've seen him spin live. I've been in the booth when he's spun at a party. and he knows the vinyl so well just from looking at it. He could just drop the needle and it comes in time right in with the, doesn't even need earphones.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's just scary. So he has his own label too. So the difference is that EDM is more pop, you know, like stadium. You'll see these electric Daisy festivals and stuff. It's like a lot of European DJ dudes, and now, but slowly it's moving away from that into soulful house and strong gospel vocals, especially in the UK, influences the rest of Europe slowly. So I think that's what's going to be happening soon. You know,
music is changing and evolutionizing over so many periods, and the biggest thing that I'm sure that's weighing on the minds is, who was your biggest influence, and tell us about how it all first started for you. I mean, I know you were 22 working with Motown, but before then, when did you get the itch with it? When you were a young kid, you know, on a street corner playing with friends and stuff?
Actually, it was my mom. My mom, she was always into jazz. So as kids,
ooh.
I remember she was playing jazz when I was 5 years old, like Charlie Parker records. So I'd constantly hear records at home. And then for Christmas one year, I got a transistor radio, and I would take that to bed with me, listen under the covers, you know, to the latest tunes, whatever was the pop tunes at the time. And I just got the itch in high school. And then bands came out in high school, and I played with a couple of bands. And then I played with this band called The Entertainers. We did a lot of James Brown covers, and that kind of got me into, like, okay, maybe I should do this and go to college for it and learn how to study how to write and theory and things like that. So it was really started from the jazz thing as a young kid, and then eventually it got into R&B and funk kind of stuff that I really liked, because it had a lot of guitar in it. So, but I originally started as a bass player, so that's where it started. Uh-huh. And I came from upstate New York, and it's cold there in the winters, so you know, much like Nashua. But
very cold.
So that's how I got
your
started.
Your biggest influence when you were listening to all of this, you had an array. You had jazz. You had funk. Who was your biggest influence?
I think the biggest influence, this is going to really sound funny, was some of the high energy records that came out in the 70s. Which sounds really like Giorgio Moroder when he did Donna Summer's first records.
Oh, yeah.
The synthesizers that he used, like for Donna Summer's and her biggest hits when she first came out, those were really my influences to begin with. And Sylvester, his productions and all that kind of stuff. They were, at that time, they were really using a lot of synthesizers and new sounds that nobody had ever used before.
I love that.
And and also a lot of funk, like a lot of the funk bands.
Now, I know for myself that when I was growing up, going through high school especially, I remember when it came to keyboards, I loved the synthesizer sound, and I remember writing songs, and I remember I was the kid who always brought in my keyboard, like every 3 months or something, to upgrade at Daddy's Junkie Music Store when there was a Daddy's Junkie Music Store. So I'd try to find the biggest and best. And, you know, now it's all different. You can go into your programs now on your laptops, and you can create your own in-studio, and, you know, you basically can do what it took years to accumulate back then in no time flat. So I can imagine what Rick Horvath's studio must look like. I mean, what would it look like for someone who's coming in and mixing sounds and tracks? That's going to be, you're an engineer, so good thing, because trying to connect the dots, I'd be like, what in the world? I mean, it's going to be, is it easy for you working with all these different artists who have such great attributes and bringing that all together? Is that an easy thing, or what's the process, the length of that process of doing that?
Well, it used to be the standard was 2-inch tape, and you needed at least $150,000, $200,000 to have a studio because you need a big mixing board, 2-inch tape. You got to mix to 1/2-inch tape. The mastering house gets a 1/2-inch tape, and then you go to the mastering house, you watch them master it, they cut into vinyl, all this stuff. But now everything's really much easier because you use computers and the internet. I just transfer files back and forth. Transfer vocals back and forth, so it's gotten a lot easier. Is it easier to write a song? No, I mean the technology is much more advanced for anybody like starting out. But to actually study music and write a song that people are going to say, "Oh, I love that hook" or "I love that song," that's a whole nother science in itself. It lives apart from the actual technology. It's the actual writing of a song. And sometimes you hear things going on in the dance world, the DJ world, where it's mostly they're very into sounds and not so much the vocal. But for me, the vocal is the hook that gets everybody, shows the meaning of what the song is about. So, and also, right, just from experiences, a song with a vocal will sell much better or stronger or be a stronger song if it has a hook.
Mm-hmm.
So technology has definitely gotten much easier for it. Now they sell loops, they sell drum beats already pre-made for you. You can hire guys on the internet to make a beat for you. Actually write a song for you, you can probably hire guys to write songs, but I mean, that's the trickiest part. To write a hit song is not that easy.
Now, I'm hoping that my stepson will listen to you because he's a sergeant in the Army, and he is in a heavy metal band, and I have no idea what they say. All I know is that the mic is in their mouth, and they're like this. And I'm like, okay, what am I missing? And he's like, that's good music. That's good. I'm like, yes, it is. Yeah, well, if you say so. And they have, like, over 5,000 fans and all this stuff. They're doing really, really good. But, you know, he has all this mixing and everything in his bedroom. He's right next door to us, and it's so funny. And he has learned so much, and it's so true what you said, you know. I mean, it just blows my mind. I mean, because I see how music has changed so much over the years. And so you think we're going to go more into a techno age? I mean, pretty much. Let's face it, we've gone through, when you were saying transistor radio, I'm sure we probably lost some people like, what is a transistor radio? And I said to myself,
yeah, yeah.
So what?
What's an iPod?
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, that poor man, he didn't know that. But it's like, it has changed so much. And, you know, it's almost scary what you could do with music because now I'm understanding, you know, I've talked to a lot of artists, Grammy Award winning artists, who said now that their music, after X amount of years, guess what? Now anybody, it's free for all. They don't have what they had with the liberty of rights of protecting their music and such. So, I mean, you know, it's just music has changed. I keep saying that because it's so true. But the vision that you have is to electrify and to really educate people on the electric dance music. And you have, now, I guess the question that I really want to ask you is, there are some big names that you've worked with, like we've talked with, like Madonna and with Johnny King and with, you know, Taylor Dane. Who would you love to work with in the studio that you haven't yet?
Gee, it's a hard question.
Oh, don't leave me hanging here. Don't you leave me hanging here.
I mean,
there's got to be somebody.
Well, he's not really well known, but in New Jersey, his name's Hunter Hayes. He's a great, fantastic singer. I'd like to work with him. Yeah.
Hunter, did you hear that? I know you're listening. That would be wonderful. Now, Hunter Hayes has been in the New York scene, and how did you know about Hunter?
Well, I actually did two singles with Hunter. Actually, three singles I did with Hunter, maybe about, it's quite a while ago, in the 90s. And he had his own management thing. He had his own business thing that was going on. But I do have some of the 2-inch, so what I want to do is take some of the vocals off those tapes and put them into the computer and then re-put them out, and, you know, of course he would get his percentage and everything like that. So he's one of the guys I would really like to work with. But, I mean, there's just so many great singers, it's pretty hard to say. I mean, gee, you know. I would love to work with real people. There's a group called Real People, R-E-E-L.
Oh.
Real People. They have some fantastic singers. They're from England.
Oh, wow.
They're a fantastic group, too. I'm pretty fans of them. And, gee, that's a hard one. I wasn't prepared for that one.
See, that's my job as a host, to make sure that I put one in there, a nice little zinger. Well, you'll have plenty of time, I'm sure, because you'll be coming back on my show. And we've got a few more minutes that we are wrapping in, and I do want to make sure that I say again, especially we featured tonight with Ride On, which is featuring Johnny King, and that song is just amazing. And, of course, Ride On comes to fans of EDM and the house music sound, courtesy of Tarbo Records, and that's as well for the other artists. And as we have time, because, of course, I know some people are going to be wanting to listen to your song, I was going to do something a little bit different for the closeout, but I'm like, you know what? I've got Rick Tarbox on the line with me. So we're going to close out with Rick Tarbox music. And before I do, because I have another version of this, I just want to have you take the floor, Rick, from me, of where we can go. Fans can listen to you, check out more of your music, I know, on YouTube. And if you'd like to give us some of the email and websites as well.
Okay, the website is www.tarborecords.com. It's T-A-R-B-O. Records, all one word, .com. And that has the links to YouTube and SoundCloud. So you could play, and you can read about the artists, links to every Serafia ceremony, Johnny King, links to their websites too. Also links to his album, to his site. So I'm not exclusive to my own label, so I'm free to go, have the website going free to everybody's thing that they're doing. And
awesome.
The email is info@tarborecords.com. That's T-A-R-B-O records.com.
And here is who I have had the pleasure of having on Entertainment Now with me. And of course, for those who wanted to hear it again, because I've got some talks right here, we're playing right now, Right On, featuring Johnny King. And Rick, it was a pleasure having you on the show with me tonight.
We'll keep spinning till the morning light. spinning, we'll keep spinning, we'll keep spinning till the morning light. We'll keep spinning, we'll keep spinning, we'll keep spinning till the morning light.
Box is my guest on Entertainment Now. It was such a pleasure having him on, and that was Right On featuring our dear friend Johnny King. I hope you'll be joining me this Thursday. As I said, it was a surprise having me on this Monday, and I'm so thankful that you tuned in. But please join me again this Thursday on Radio of Success, Faces of Success Radio, Blog Talk Radio. This Thursday, as my guest, will be multi-instrumentalist Tony Ann Semple, who has worked with artists from Will Downing to Al B. Shore, and she'll be talking more about a new project that she has underway. But I want to wish you all a very good night, a wonderful start to the work week, and I hope you have a wonderful week ahead. And I will be talking to you again on Thursday.